And this is not my home. And if you're saved, this is not your home. We drive our pegs down so deep into this world and get so attached to our things and our belongings. But we're just pilgrims passing through. And I promise you, everything you work for, everything that you accumulate will one day burn and rust out and be worthless. And so I'd encourage you to refocus all your time that you spend on, and I'm for a man working. Please don't get me wrong. I'm for people working. God's for that, but not so much that it's working you and that it's stealing, that your job steals from you, your time with your family, time with your church, time with the Lord. There's a place for work, but it's in its place. Because people spend their whole life spending 40, 50, 60, 70 hours a week at some job, at some building, away from everything they're trying to provide for and bring happiness to, when in reality, if they would just go in and work and come home and be there, that's the greatest joy and happiness and that they could provide. So let's not get so tied down to this world, because we're just here for a moment and then we'll be gone. Amen. All right, our hearts and minds clear. Don't want to rob anybody of an opportunity. To pick and prod, persuade her way into finding the source of strength in Samson. Well, the devil, he don't have to pick and pry and figure out the source of our strength, because he reads the Bible and knows it better than probably most believers, if not all of us. And so he knows. And so if he can attack and diminish and destroy our joy, he has weakened us. And we are, as Brother Lester Roloff used to say, we're in a battlefield, brother. We are in a war. And so we need to be as strong as we possibly can to fight this battle that is raging. Amen. Amen. All right, I want you to take your Bible this evening. Go with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 23. And very familiar text. And I was talking to Brother Jeff Gibson right before the service, and he asked me who was the author. Well, the author is God, but who penned the Proverbs? And he named it before I could answer it. That was Solomon. Solomon, the wisest man that we know ever to live. And Solomon was unmistakably wise. If you read the Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, and the Proverbs, the three books that he penned, you will see just how wise of a man Solomon was. However, if you read about Solomon himself, wisdom was his strong suit, but being an example and receiving his own wisdom and living it out, he was not so good at. He had many, many problems taking his own counsel. And as a preacher, I can identify. It's hard to preach a lot of times, and I'll just be honest with you, most of the time I try to preach to me. And if you can get something out of it while I'm preaching to me, then praise the Lord. If I'm dealing with something, I'm of the mind that probably others are. If I'm struggling, I'm sure others are. If I'm rejoicing in a truth, I want to share that. with any and everybody that I can. If the Lord speaks to me through His Word, as He did yesterday and today, out of this one short verse, and really just a phrase out of the verse, a phrase when we read it again, as we read this morning, you will all be familiar. But the Lord enlightened me and showed me a different angle and something I'd never thought about or never been able to answer. And I believe I have the answer this evening. And if the Lord will help us, we will deal with that and we'll go ahead and dive right in. How many of you have your Bible with you? Let's go ahead and take our Bibles and stand. And we'll let you stretch your legs a moment. But at the same time, and more importantly than stretching, we will honor and reverence the reading of God's Word. And I don't always do that, but I do it a lot. Just like the Lord's Supper. The Bible says, as oft as you do it, this do in remembrance of me. On purpose, we do not have communion every Sunday. A lot of churches do that. I know people who do that every day. But I never want communion and the Lord's Supper to become commonplace and just routine. That's such a sacred and holy time that I believe it should be something that when we do partake of it, that it is so special and makes us look heavenward and remember Him and the great price that He paid when He gave His body and His blood. And the same with the Word of God. If I had time this evening, I would tell you and remind us how untold, probably millions of gallons of blood have been shed so that we could hold this book in our hand. Untold bodies have been burned at the stake so that we could have and hold the Word of God. So please, please, please don't ever let the Word of God become commonplace and just another book and throw it on your dash and let the sun bake it. I don't even let my children or nobody, if I can help it, put the remote on top of my Bible. I don't put nothing on top of my Bible. When I'm carrying a set of books, my Bible goes on top. You know, that's pushing a little too far. Well, you do what you want to do. I'm telling you what I do. And I'm not saying it's a sin to put the remote on top of your Bible. I just think God's Word is a holy, heaven-sent, special, special, special Word. And it contains everything that God wanted humanity to know. And ain't you thankful? Ain't you thankful? And let the church all together say amen. Ain't you thankful for the Word of God? Amen. 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 Proverbs 23 and verse 23. I was telling Brother Jeff, I didn't get to this, but there is 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. That's one for every day of the month, even the longest months. And you say, well, what about when there's only 30 days or 28? Well, you get to double up and get extra. But I promise you, there's not all of the Word of God, as the old black preacher said, take your Bible and turn anywhere. It's all good. And that's true. But if you will get on a schedule, and most of these chapters are short. You could read most of these in less than 5 minutes. If you would do that every morning, I promise you it will impart the wisdom of Solomon into your heart and into your life. And it's truth. It's practical, everyday, living truth that will help change and transform our lives. I encourage you to do that. And then also I encourage people to read a psalm a day. One psalm for encouragement, uplifting, and then one proverb. Amen. All right, Proverbs 23:23. If you're there, say amen. The Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. I'll read the first phrase again, which is the subject we will be preaching on. Buy the truth and sell it not. You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. And I intended to preach half the message this morning and the other half this evening. Sorry. You do know what that means. We need to get it all done tonight. So buckle up, buttercup. No, I'm kidding. I won't keep you till Jesus comes, unless he comes soon. And I heard some praying, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But buy the truth and sell it not. You've heard the statement, the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help me God. Truth is something that we all as believers should understand and know the value of truth. I'll get to this later, but the Bible said, know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Right. Yeah. Truth, what a subject. What a subject. And the Word of God said, by the truth. What a statement. It's sort of strange that God would say, buy the truth and sell it not. We as the people of God should be trafficking in truth. There's so much noise and nonsense blaring in and out of our ears every day. Something is fighting to get in your ears, and TV shows and podcasts and radios and iPads and telephones, and it's just a constant noise and buzz of different people from every angle trying to penetrate your ear and push their truth and influence and impact you and me in some way. But we as believers should be trafficking in truth. And the world loves information. We are living in the information age. Never has there been more information than the day and hour we live in. You've heard of the Industrial Revolution and how that changed the world. And it was a time when everything sped up, and we benefited greatly because of the Industrial Revolution. And there's been many revolutions, but I would say, and I thought about this, the information revolution, I believe, has changed the world and sped up the world in even a greater way than the Industrial Revolution. And we as believers must take that in account, because we are affected by all the information. Our children are affected by all the information. Information is not truth. Information can be truth, but not all information is truth. And it's up to us to understand and know where we get our information, and to make sure that the information that we are receiving matches up to the truth. And I'll say more about that in a moment. You have your phone or tablet, and there's no shortage of information. But though we have mountains and mountains of information, we, like never before, are starving for the truth. It's like eating cheese puff and cotton candy. You can have your belly bloated and bulging with those things, but there's no substance, there's no nutritional value whatsoever. And I'm saddened but fully persuaded that we in this age we're living in 2022, and that sounds even strange saying that, Sister Anita, I never dreamed we would get to 2000, and now here we are 22 years later. And in this age, we are battling daily for time. There's just not enough time in the day. But there's information everywhere. But most of it, the major, major majority of the information that we consume has no value to you. I'm not going to go off on a tangent here because I want to just preach the Bible tonight, but I went for several years and I got caught up in politics and the political punditry and talking heads, and I began to like it for some odd, crazy reason. I began liking watching Fox News. I mean, if you come to my house, Fox News would be playing at all times, and I would consume that. And no matter if I was hearing the same thing over and over and over, just from a different person, it was on. It was there in the background. Tommy, can I get an amen? Still at his house today. He had it DVR'd while we was at church. He got home so he could watch Maria Bartiromo, Sunday Morning Futures, I believe is the name. And so I'm just saying, we all have our genre, or we all have our personal favorite or our personal go-to. Some love music. Some love some certain podcast, or some of the kids love TikTok or YouTube, or you fill in the blank. But there's constantly information overload that we are consuming as believers. The problem is there's only so much of you. There's only so much space between your ears. There's only so much space in your heart. There's only so much that you and I can consume. And the Bible said, how's the verse go? Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. And in the context of that, listen, I'm not going to get up, I do often, and preach against drinking. I think drinking's a sin. I think it's wicked. You say, oh, there ain't nothing wrong with a beer, preacher, on a hot day, a good cold beer. Come see me after service. And we'll just take the Bible, and I'll show you. For any one scripture you might could manipulate and twist to prove your point, I'll give you 10 or more to prove otherwise. And then I'll give you the horrifying personal life stories of what alcohol does to a man and to a home. Be ye filled with the Spirit. The point of that is, if we are full of everything else, there's no room to be filled with the Spirit. And the same is so if we consume constantly. We are taking in and indulging and bringing in more and more of what the world in its slant has to say and pushing their information into our ears, into our eye gates. There's no room for truth. And so I would just warn us all to be careful to throw the phone or the tablet to our children and allow the world to indoctrinate them with their truth. How in the world did you ever think, if you're above 40 years old, raise your hand. Except for ladies, I don't want to call you out. No, I'm just kidding. If you're above 40 years old, did you ever dream you'd live in America to where our government would be pushing and may possibly get it passed to where they can allow your child or mine to go behind their parents' back in the cover of darkness and take and ingest medicine that will permanently castrate them? because they feel like they're no longer a boy, or they feel like they're no longer a girl, or they feel like they're somewhere in between. How did that ever happen? How did we get here? I'll tell you how. Because truth has been forsaken, and the father of lies, the devil himself, the deceiver, has been on a mission from the beginning. He was a murderer. From the beginning, he was a liar. And he's been lying and lying and lying. And used to, Christians had prayer lives. And used to, men of God would stand up and thunder the Word of God and thunder truth without reservation or hesitation. And if it bothered you, so be it. But they would thunder the Word of God and truth, and people would receive the truth. Now our churches have been so watered down, and the church has dropped their standards, and there's more feel-good, tickling the ears of, and now truth is hard to find even in the house of God.
God forbid.
And truth is so hard to find in the world. Sadly. Oh my, yeah, we're not getting done tonight. I ain't even got to the introduction yet, but we're going to get to the introduction in a minute. But sadly, it's hard to find truth in a Christian bookstore. I remember recently walking in a Christian bookstore and going through and looking in the Bible section where truth should be found. And went through book after book, and finally I said, "Excuse me," they said, "Can I help you?" I said, I hope you can help me. Do y'all have any Bibles?" Well, she said, "You staring at bunches of them? They're everywhere. Whichever flavor fits you, we have it." I said, "I'm looking for a real, authentic, authorized 1611 King James, God-breathed, inerrant, infallible Word of God." She said, "Well, we don't have those out here because so few are being sold. But mate, try the Message. Try the NIV. You may like it." I said, "Oh, ma'am, I'm sorry to tell you, but I've been down that road and I've done my study. And I'd encourage you before you go peddling these perverted gospels and these perverted books that maybe contain a little of the truth. I would encourage you to please do your homework and research. And if you'll take the time, I will take a day and I will come and meet you and I will show you where the truth is." And she said, "I think we may have a couple in the back room." I'm saying truth is hard to find in this world, to the point the devil has been so successful and so good at what he does, at lying, deceiving, and perverting, that he, even in the church, even in Christendom, he has hidden the truth. He's darkened the minds. He's blinded the minds. And truth is so hard to find. And I want to go on record by the grace of God. This may be your last service. You may not like this kind of preaching, and I'm sorry. I hope I'll just load your boat while you're here. So I ain't coming back. Well, I love you, and I'm praying for you, and I'm trying my best to help you. Please hear me. Please hear me. Please, 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 don't lose me. I'm headed somewhere. The Bible said, "Buy the truth and sell it not." I'm going on record tonight, and I'm saying this without apology. As long as I'm the pastor of Morningstar Baptist Church, we will never, ever back up, veer, get shady, allow even Sunday school material to creep in that's not King James Bible truth. Say, why are you spending so much time on that? Why do you keep repeating that? Because I went for so long without saying it. I went for so long without reminding people. And when you do, it's amazing to me how many people are ignorant. And that's not a bad word to you. That means you don't know any better. But how many people come in into an old-fashioned independent Baptist church like this, And they bring in other Bibles and they don't know any better. And then people who do know better, people who absolutely know better, they'll say, well, I like this writer and I like this material and we can bring this in. We can bring this perverted stuff in and just use our own on the side. What that's doing is telling those younger converts and those who are not spiritually mature that it's okay and it's not that bad, and it opens a door that you can't shut. As long as I'm the pastor here, by the grace of God, we will stand on truth. We will stand for truth, and we will stand in truth. Amen. Amen. Now, we are bloated and bulging with information, but we're starving for the truth. Listen to what the Bible said concerning these days we're living. This is 2 Timothy 3:1. This know also, in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Listen. This is the verses I want to get to. Listen. Verse 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. That word reprobate is usually used in the context of those who, Romans chapter 1 talks about, who have went past the feeling. They seared their conscience with a hot iron and they no longer know the difference between right and wrong. But this verse said concerning truth, these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Amen. Sadly, I've lived long enough to see that happen. Preachers, heroes of mine, men of God that I looked up to, men of God that I had the utmost respect for, I've seen them fold like I've seen them compromise. What they once stood for, now they stand against. So the Bible says here very clearly, we ought to buy the truth and sell it not. Every Christian, every believer can buy the truth by understanding the following truths. Number one, and I heard a big gulp. Number one. And we may only get to number one. Or we may get to number 13. I don't know. I don't have 13. I'm kidding. Number one, the principle of truth. It speaks of the principle of truth. It said, by the truth. So truth is something that is available. Truth is something that is abundant. Truth is something that is available not just to the elite, not just to those of high degree with great amounts of dollars in the bank. No, truth is there on the lowest shelf. God has put truth where you can reach it. God has put truth where if you don't have two nickels to rub together, you can receive and attain truth. And the principle of truth is what we will look at for a moment. It speaks of the principle of truth and how God's people ought to be people who traffic in truth. Now, we all know that in the world, truth ain't what matters. Way more important in this world than truth and trafficking in truth is what's trending. Whether it be attire, whether it be some famous woman, what's them big lip women up in New York that's rich, married, one of them married to Kanye West, the Kardashians. Whatever Kardashians were, well, that flows downhill, and then the girls want to buy that. And whatever some rich, good-looking man in Hollywood or in sports, Steph Curry or LeBron James, and whatever they have, the young boys, they got to have their shoes and they got to have their jerseys. And I'm simply saying the attire is attractive, but truth should be what we're trafficking in. Truth should be what's leading us and what's driving us, and not what's trending, and not what's trending on social media, not what's trending in the fashion arena, but truth should be what is trending to the believer. Keep in mind, and I'll come back to this verse later, and I don't know if I keep saying that, we'll never finish. But the Bible does say, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The Bible says our God is a God of truth. I'm talking about the principle of truth. God is truth. He is just and He is right. The Bible says in Psalm 33:4, for the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. Amen. He ain't never done a work that wasn't in truth. Amen. God ain't never done a shady deal. Amen. Everything God does is on the up and up. It's absolute truth. Amen. You know how we can wait till just a few minutes or an hour or two later, and you can bank on it. The sun will set. Just like it did yesterday and the day before. You know how I know that? Because God controls the sun and how it sets and when it sets, and He operates in truth. And the truth is, He governs the universe. He governs the solar system, and He has it all under control, and He operates in truth, and you can count on it. Yeah. And just as much as it'll set, I can guarantee you, if Jesus don't come in the morning, that sun, that same sun will rise. Amen. All His deeds, all His movements are done in truth. And if He said it, you can believe it. And you can bank on it. And you can stake your life on it. There is this principle of truth. And God Himself is the God of truth. And we know that, because that's what the Bible says about God the Father. He's truth. Now, I just talked about the solar systems and the stars and the sun and the moon, which God, sovereign God, the holy God of heaven, God the Father, spoke it into existence. And it's all true. Let the God deniers say what they will. Let the scientists say what they will. Let them talk about a big bang and let them say, well, y'all just Christian crazies and y'all just backwood dummies and hillbillies and y'all just don't know any better. I've been told that. Oh, I've been told that many times. But I'm just here to say, they'll say, you just don't understand. In the beginning, you know, there was a tadpole, and that tadpole, you know, it evolved and it turned into a monkey, and this happened and on. And I say, well, where'd the tadpole come from? Well, that it was an amoeba before it was a tadpole. I said, well, then where'd the amoeba come from? Well, the amoeba was a growth and evolved out of the water. I said, well, then where did the water come from? So you telling me I'm a backwood hillbilly that don't know nothing and don't know what truth is, and listen to me, it takes more faith to believe in what they're pushing and peddling than to just believe in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. You trying to tell me we're living on planet Earth that's, last I checked, at least over 80% water. Right? At least. So millions and billions of years ago, when none of these knucklehead scientists were there, they expect us to believe that some big bang happened, an explosion, fire, hot enough to melt everything. At the end of that explosion, poof, we have 80% water out of burning fire.
Help us, preacher.
What kind of moron must you be to believe that?
Yeah.
The truth is, they wasn't there. I wasn't there, but I know who was. And I know him personally. And he told me, and the Holy Spirit bore witness in my heart, but with his word, and he guides us into all truth. And he said, when God the Father said, in the beginning, God created, that means in the beginning, God. I mean, before the first angel wing ever fluttered, before the first cherubim ever fluttered, before the first seraphim ever cried, holy, 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 there was a God in heaven, and he is truth. Oh yes, oh yes. Not only God the Father is truth, I'm talking about the principle of truth. Jesus said in John 14:6, and you know this verse very well, Jesus said, I am the way, help me, the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father. Jesus said, I am truth. Truth is not some esoteric concept. Truth is not something just, your truth is not my truth. Truth is not some vague, moving, ever-changing. No. Listen. The only truth is not something that only the enlightened and the genius mind can grasp and understand. No, you don't break into some realm of truth. Truth is not a concept, but truth is a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. So God the Father is truth, and Jesus said, I am the truth. But the Bible also speaks of the Holy Spirit of God as being the Spirit of truth. Amen. John, you say, is that your opinion? Well, no, I'm not an opinionated preacher. I'm a Bible preacher. And the Bible says in John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. So God the Father is truth, and Jesus said, I am truth, and the Holy Spirit has come, and He guides us into all truth. But that book you hold in your hand, that book that's sitting in your lap, if it's a King James Bible, this is the Word of truth. And you say, you're confusing me. I thought you said Jesus was truth. And now you're saying the Father was truth and the Holy Spirit was truth. I at least get that, because the Trinity, you know, one and three, three and one. I mean, they won. I get that. But now you want to add a book to it? John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then you drop on down to, I think, around verse 14. And help me, Stephen. Was it? And we turn to John. I can't get there. Turn to John chapter 14, verse. No, I mean John's.
John 1.
Verse 12 or 14. Fast. They wait. Look here. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I'm not preaching my opinion to you. I'm preaching to you about truth from the truth. The principle of truth. God the Father is truth. God the Son is truth. God the Holy Ghost is truth. And God the Word is truth. By the way, that wasn't just His name in the Gospels. Read the book of the Revelation. One of His names, when He comes, one of the names that will be on His vesture is the Word. Oh, yes. Amen. Well, y'all must listen faster, because y'all are slowing us down. I'm kidding. I'm getting there fast as I can. Listen. Jesus prayed in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You say, you're talking about the principle of truth, and you're talking about how great truth is, and God's truth, and the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and His Word. What's that got to do with me? That's what the message is all about. I said all that to get to where we're about at. Jesus prayed, sanctify them. You do know what that word sanctify means? It means to set apart. Consecrate, sanctify, set apart. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. God never called us to be like the world. God never intended for us to conform to the world. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, and be not conformed. How's it start? Y'all preachers got to sharpen up. Turn to Romans chapter 12. I used to know that by heart. Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by how? By how? The renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? Truth. You say, I know all this. What's this got to do with buying the truth? I promise I'm getting there fast as I possibly can. John chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus unto those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. I really scared some of y'all now that I took my jacket off. Y'all think He'll never quit. No. Listen to that again. John chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples. Didn't stop there. Then, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. Why did, by the way, there's nothing in this Bible there by accident. There's no filler. God never just had a place that, well, I need something there, so we'll just put it. No. If it's in there, every jot, every tittle, every dotting of the I, every crossing of the T, if God put it in this Bible, it's there for a reason. And He said, then, continue My word, then are you My disciples indeed. Verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He said, continue in My word, and if you do, ye are My disciples, sure enough. Ye are My disciples for real. No jive. I mean, I'm sure Jesus didn't say no jive or for real. But that's what he's saying in our vernacular. He's saying, you are My disciples for real. No jive. It's the real deal. If you continue in My word, anybody can name the name of Christ. But if you get saved, you will have a desire. You may not have progressed and got there as quick as you wanted to, neither have I, but I promise you, if you save, if you're a child of God, if you're a believer, which is who Jesus was speaking to, He's speaking to those Jews who was in Judaism and who heard the gospel and got born again. And He said, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. And I encourage you, continue in His word. If you continue in My word and know it, it'll make you what? Free. It'll make you free from the noise and the nonsense that's going on everywhere else. The sharp edge of the truth is the Word of God. The Word of God is the fine-tooth comb that will comb out the kinks and the knots and the frizz that's on our heads. And I'm not talking about the ones on the outside, but the frizz and the knots that's on the inside. The Word of God will comb through them, straighten that out, and untangle the knots and the lies the devil has sown and bound you and I with. It's intended to free me from my stinking thinking. And that's the best I can do apart from the Word of truth. The best I can do when it comes to righteousness, the Bible says, is filthy rags. And the best I can do in my own ingenuity, and by the way, before y'all all cast stones at me and say, yeah, I agree with that. He's a pretty lousy thinker. Apart from truth, apart from the Word of God, you're going to have stinking thinking too. And stinking thinking leads to lousy living. My whole point and God's whole point in giving us truth and magnifying truth and telling us get the truth, buy the truth, buy it, purchase it, invest in the truth and sell it not, is because God knows it will make you free, and there's not a life on planet Earth worth living like you can live in truth. Amen. 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 Talking about the principle of truth. I've been saved, I said this morning, over 31 years. And come August, next month, I'll have been pastoring full time over 15 years. And I'm amazed at how spiritually soft I get. How weak and wishy-washy I get. How loose I get when I get away from His Word. Don't take long. This Word is what keeps you sharp. This Word, hiding it in your heart, Say, how am I going to change? How am I going to quit my habits? How am I going to quit this? How am I going to grow? How am I going to become a better Christian? I counsel people a lot. And Brother Raymond, people will say, I've tried, preacher, and I'm in a rut and I just can't get past here. And I'm so depressed. And I'm ready to quit and just give up and throw the towel in being a Christian. And I'll say, if you come to me for a reason, because I'm gonna save some of y'all some time. If you don't want me to tell you the truth, I would advise you not to come to me. Because I'm not going to pat you on the back and tell you, bless your little heart, everything don't be okay. Everything just perfect. No, you come to me for a reason. You have a problem. And 99% of the time, it ain't that you have a problem. You are a problem. My biggest problem is the man I look at in the mirror every morning. My biggest enemy, far surpassing the devil and the world, is this old boy right here. I trip me up. I let me down. I make a mess of it every single day. And the only way to change old Michael Rochester is for me to get the truth, to buy the truth, to invest in the truth, and to purchase the truth and allow His truth to set me free from me and become who He wants me to be and be conformed into the image of His Son, the Word. So, I counsel people and I will say, this is my, you go to a doctor and you say, JD, if you're sick, and you sick as a dog, and you go to the doctor and you think you might have cancer. God forbid, I'm not a prophet, so that ain't going to happen, I hope. Say, Doc, I think I got cancer. I'm losing weight, and this and that and the other. You don't want a doctor who's going to say, well, just go home and take some aspirin and a few Tylenol and everything's going to be all right. See, here's your bill. See the secretary on your way out. No. I want a doctor when I have a sickness to be brutally honest with me and to tell me, hey, your heart, if you keep up the way you're going, you keep eating what you're eating, you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to die. I want a doctor who hates my problem and who spent his life studying how to fix my problem. I don't want a sugar-coated message from my doctor. I want a doctor who deals in truth, whether it hurts my feelings or not. Not just in medicine. The same is true in mechanics. Bro Jackie, I don't want a mechanic who's going to tell me, you was 4 quarts low out of 5, and yeah, it's tapping pretty hard, but I'll put another quart and a half in it, and that ought to be all right. I'd quieten her down. Have a nice day. I don't want. And he could have told me that as nice and loving and even hugged my neck and said no charge. I don't care, Brother Jeff. I want a man who's going to say, hey, dude, you a blooming idiot. I mean, do you not know why they put a dipstick in this motor to start with? It's to check your oil. And when it starts tapping and banging and booming and check engine lights come on and oil lights start flashing, it's like, warning, alert, alert, check your oil. My daughter just thinks, that's some kind of pretty little new gadget, new light. Come to find out, she thought if she didn't tell Daddy so Daddy could fix it, it might really blow the motor up and she could get a new car. I said, I'll take that car and run it off a cliff before you drive it again if you ever do something like that again. My point is, I don't want no, I want a, in medicine, I want them dealing with me in truth, no matter what. In mechanics, I want it in truth. Lay it on the line. Tell me what the problem is. Tell me what the cost is, and let's operate off truth. Don't make me feel good. Not just mechanics and medicine. Please hear me. Do you know there's truth in morality? But for some reason, people want their doctors to tell them the truth. And people want them to get shot straight with and dealt with truthfully and honestly, no matter how bad it hurts when it comes to their mechanics. But God forbid a preacher stand up and tell them the truth, even in love, about morality. And you call me the hypocrite? If you are part of a Bible believing, Bible preaching, Bible teaching Baptist church who honors the truth of the Word of God without apology, you are one blessed human being. Because they are people by the millions and yea, even billions who would swap with you in a hurry. And I'm telling you, we are blessed. Amen. Not because I'm the preacher, but because we have a church that lifts the truth. Amen. We have a church that allows the truth to guide us. Hey, listen, we don't operate around here. I don't tell you how to dress based on my opinion. I don't tell you how to dress based on what I think the standard should be. God give a standard. And listen, I'll tell you what God said the standard is. You reveal your thigh, you naked. Go ahead and bow up on me and get mad about that. Y'all's all with me until I know it's summertime. I know how hot it is. I sweat bad as any of you or worse. But ladies, I'm telling you, when you go out strutting your stuff and you pull up your dress or you put on your bikini or whatever you do and you show your thigh, God said, you're naked. See, I don't like that. I didn't figure you would. But that's what truth is, whether you like it or not, whether I like it or not. That's truth. I don't allow my opinions and my own standards to mandate what we do and how we operate around here, Brother Jackie. But I promise you, I would have stopped a funeral, and I told you about it. I would have stopped a funeral and really made a bunch of people mad at me. Because there was a possibility of a preacher coming in here and bringing a different Bible and trying to preach behind that pulpit. And I would have hated to have done it, and I would have done it in love as quietly as possible, but there's no way under God's green earth that I would have dared let a man get up behind that pulpit and preach from another Bible and then me have to stand before God and answer for it. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. Why? Because that's what Michael Rochester wants? Absolutely not, because that's what the truth demands. Amen. Amen. I've lost my glasses again. Well, good. You watching closely, Miss Renee. I hope you're listening as good as you want. No, I'm just kidding. There's nothing good in me. There's nothing good in you. We need the Word of God to challenge us. Please hear me. If you're never challenged, you'll never change.
That's right.
And I know the problem in most churches, Brother Bobby, in this day and hour we're living in, that's exactly what people want. They don't want to be challenged. You know why, Mama? People don't want to change. And I'll tell you the truth. I don't want to change. And if you want to act spiritual, I've met 100 like you. You don't want to change, Brother Bill. That flesh don't want to change. It hates change. It despises change, Brother Todd. It don't want no part of it. But that's what this whole message is about. Allowing, buying truth. And I'm going to tell you how. I hadn't dealt with it. And I'm going to give, I know what time it is. I'm going to give a whole message to point number two. This evening we dealt with the principle of truth. What truth is. But number two, we're going to look at the purchase of truth. And this is what God showed me that I never, ever, ever seen before. How do you buy it? How do you buy the truth? My goodness, I left out so much in that first point. I'm still scrolling. I got to just give you this. I got to. Because I'm going to go, I'm gonna, next message, I'm going to the purchasing of truth. But right now I'm dealing with the principle of truth. You can't just say it because it's true all the time. Listen, it might be true, but there's a time and a place to say truth. Truth is truth, period. But we don't have to be mean and vulgar and vile against people. Homosexuality is an abomination. It's wicked. But I see preachers, quote unquote, street preachers out there at these rallies where lots of the LGBTQ, rest of the alphabet, people go to march and to do. And they'll be out there and they'll be saying, "You going to hell, bless God." Just as mean. And I would like to ask them, what you're saying is true. If they don't receive Christ and get challenged on what they believe and receive truth and get converted, then yes, they're going to hell. Not because they're a lesbian, not because they're a homosexual, not because they're transgender, not because they identify as fill in the blank. They're going to hell because they are a sinner who believed hook, line, and sinker the lie of the devil. There's not a deeper part of hell for a homosexual than there are a Baptist who sits on a pew. And just because it's truth, and you know it, don't mean you've got to be ugly. Because listen to me, people, please listen to me. It is so easy to get mad at sin and let that blur over and spill over and let that venom spew on the sinner, and understand they're only doing what they have been deceived and lied to. Amen. And before we hold contempt, we better have compassion toward that sinner, because they do not know any better and they've only believed the lie. And until and unless they receive truth in love, they will never have any hope of changing. Why is truth so important? For any of you teenagers headed to college, I'm going to close with this. This is facts. This is not something I made up. But on a college application, I believe it was to Appalachian State, but most colleges are the same, are similar. This was given to a young lady to fill out. And the questions, just at the top of this page, were these. We would like to ask you some personal questions. This is a registration. Number one, how old are you? Give age. She wrote 19. Number two, what is your gender. Unlike question number one, where they were looking for an absolute answer. Under question two, what is your gender? They had nine different genders for them to circle and choose from. Number one, circle. If this fits you, non-binary, non-gender, gender fluid, gender slash no gender, male, female, gender queer, prefer not to say, prefer to self-describe. That's on a college application to Appalachian State and many and most other applications. That's what our children are having to deal with. That's why it's so important. That's why it's absolutely necessary while we have them in our care, before they leave, while we have them, get them to the truth. Get them exposed to the truth. Because, listen, God said, buy the truth. He didn't say borrow it. And that's what's happening to most teenagers. They borrowed mom and daddy's truth, and they leased mom and daddy's truth, and that kind of truth, when you borrow it or lease it, hey, listen, it ain't going to last. When you get out there in college, mom and daddy's truth will not carry you. Their convictions will not carry you, and it won't be long till they will begin to brainwash your mind because you don't have the truth. And you must personally invest and buy your truth for yourself. People have been gripped by the lies of the devil and they don't know any better. Do you see why truth is so important? Notice this. The next question on the application is, how old are you? What I want to self-describe today is, I just got back from youth camp with 4,000 people. I feel 78. I self-identify as 78. Where's my Social Security check? Wonder why they didn't have an option, Calvin, for me to self-identify. You know why? Because they wanted an absolute. They wanted the truth, Brother Jeff. They wanted to know the truth. But they are pushing an agenda. And they're trying to brainwash and pull our children into hell. And I've been studying this deeply. You would not believe the horror stories of young girls who vowed, just since Roe v. Wade was overturned, praise the Lord, women who, because of that decision, went straight to the doctor and made a vow and said, because they did that, I don't want children, I hate children, so fix my body where I could never have a child. A permanent lifelong decision that I promise you, you go find some of them girls, them young 19, 20-year-old girls, in 10 to 15 years from now, the suicide rate is astronomical for these girls who went transgender, who went lesbian, who self-identified as this gender or that, and took this medicine and castrated themselves medically, and now they never have a hope of having a child. And we wonder why the suicide rates for young girls has skyrocketed. The devil, the liar, his motivation is to deceive. And he's going to destroy as many as he can. By hiding, deceiving, deflecting, watering down the simple principle of truth. And God said, buy it. Buy the truth and sell it not. Next time I preach, I will be dealing with the purchasing of truth. And I'm done preaching. Look, everybody. Look. Close my Bible. I want to say this because I don't want you to think this is just some generic truth that you've already heard. But I'm going to give you the answer tonight in one sentence, and then we'll stand together. How do you buy truth? Does anybody know? If you know how to buy truth, I want you to raise your hand. If you know what God's saying right here, buy the truth. And you know how to do that, I want you to raise your hand. Thank you for your honesty. Now raise your hand if you would like to know. Praise the Lord. Truth is going to cost you. That's why he said you got to buy it. I'll give you this hint, and then I'll explain it in great detail. You know how you can buy truth? You know the only way to buy truth? Not with $100 bills. You buy truth with your lies. Please hear me. I know that sounds crazy, but it's the only way to purchase truth. If I go to the gas station and I want gasoline, Jim, if I got a $100 bill in my pocket, that's something of value. I mean, it's at least worth $50 these days. Tell me I'll get that out of a while. But my hand's on empty. And I take something of value that I have. And I need to get down the road. And I take that $100 bill that I have that's mine. And in exchange for something of more value, I give that $100 and I get my gas. That's how I buy gas, and that's how you buy gas. You don't buy truth with $100 bills. You know how you buy truth? Those things that you were told as a child, things that you hold precious to you, things your mom and daddy taught you and brought you up as a child that you've believed your whole life, things that were slanted, things that your culture and mine ingrained into us that are contrary to truth. Nobody believes what I believe is a lie. If you believed that, you would fix it. Then you wouldn't think you believed a lie. We all believe we believe the truth, do we not? I said, if there's no challenge, there's no change. And God said, buy the truth. There's things in my life and in your life, things of value, things that are precious to us that we've always believed as truth, that are contrary to God's word and God's truth. And God said, if you want truth, it's going to cost you. It's going to challenge you. But if you want to change, you're going to have to give up what you have, that lie that you don't know is a lie and believes a lie. But when the light of the truth is exposed to you, you're going to have to take that you've always had that you want and pay for it. And the only way to get truth in exchange is to give your lie in exchange for truth. And that's how you buy truth. And that's the only way you can buy truth. You give up what you believe, what is valuable to you, what you've held on to for dear life. And I'll go way deeper in that, but that is a truth that can fundamentally and foundationally change who we are as Christians, because I believe, and I'm under the persuasion, there's a lot we need to change and be challenged on, and then line up what we believe, not by what we were taught, not by what the Baptists say, not by what denominations say, but what by what thus saith the Lord. Amen. We'll deal with that later. I know I kept you long. Thank you for your patience. Let's stand together. We looked at something. Principle. I can't get that word to come. The principle of truth. We're going to look at the purchasing of truth. And then finally, he said, buy the truth and sell it not. We'll look at the parting or the pawning of truth. Once you have it, oh, and sadly I have done this and you probably have too. Don't ever part or pawn the truth. We'll deal with that. Again, thank you for your patience. I'm usually a 15 to 20 minute preacher. per point. Again, hey, thank you for coming tonight.